Crest in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Broadcasting from the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan, taking a closer Catholic look at current events, issues, and ideas. This is Cresta in the Afternoon.
Good afternoon and welcome to today's program. I'm Marcus Peter. When I joined Ave Maria Radio last year, I was blessed that Al took me along on perhaps one of his most favorite experiences of the year, and that is this amazing conference that takes place in Grand Rapids, Michigan once a year. It's called Acton University. It is put together by the Acton Institute. And the Acton Institute is an institute that studies religion and liberty, the intersection of how faith and morals ought to guide conversations and even policies pertaining to politics and education and economics and wealth building and education and what have you. Anything that pertains to the living out of human life and the flourishing of human culture and society, all of these things owe some level of guidance to the foundational principles of religion and ultimately Western civilization, Christendom, the foundational principles of Judeo-Christianity. Acton Institute is named after Lord John Acton, who coined this remark that we all know: power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. In this hour, we will be talking with Father Robert Sirico, who is one of the founders of Acton Institute, and he has become a noteworthy commentator on how Catholic social teachings actually contain the commonsensical principles necessary to bring about even non-religious spheres flourishing and bringing about the greater holistic good of the human person. He will talk to us about the foundation of Acton Institute, the foundation of Acton University, and its flourishing since then and how much it has grown into what it is today. Acton University is frankly visited by countries across the world now. People fly all the way just to join this four-day conference that integrates economics, business, philosophy, theology, and intellectual history. After speaking to Father Robert Sirico, we spent two segments speaking to Andreas Widmer. No stranger to this program, both Father Robert and Andreas are friends of Al, and Andreas will be talking to us about the notion of principled entrepreneurship and how those guiding principles from Catholic social teachings can lead to the flourishing of organizations. More on that later. For now, let's take a look at the headlines.
Thank you, Marcus, and good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Tuesday, June 25th. It's the Feast of St. William of Vercelli. And today's news is brought to you by Visiting Angels, providing love and care and assistance for seniors in need at visitingangels.com. The House will consider three government funding bills this week that are already meeting fierce opposition from Democrats. The House will take up appropriations bills funding the Department of Defense, Department of Homeland Security, and the State Department for fiscal year 2025. But the bills include provisions that are non-starters for Democrats, including a push to build the border wall and cutting funding from being used for abortion. The first debate of the 2024 presidential election is just days away. President Biden is set to face off against his political rival Donald Trump on Thursday in a debate hosted by CNN in Atlanta. The candidates will make their pitch to voters less than 5 months before the election. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange has reached a plea deal with the U.S. Justice Department that will see him go free after spending 5 years in a British prison. The U.S. charges were part of one of the biggest publications of classified info in history, with some of the classified military and diplomatic materials leaked showing possible war crimes committed by American forces in Iraq. More storms could be on the way across the Midwest today, bringing more floods to the region. Forecasters say 2 inches of rain per hour might fall in parts of Missouri, Iowa, and Illinois. At least 2 people have died as a result of flooding. The floods come as extreme heat is expected again in some of the same areas throughout the week. And for the first time in their 30-year history, the Florida Panthers are Stanley Cup champs. They won the cup last night by beating the Edmonton Oilers 2-1 in Game 7 on home ice. From the AveMariaRadio.net news desk, I'm Dan McGraw.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. We are broadcasting live at Acton 2024, Acton University 2024. And joining me for this segment is the President Emeritus and co-founder of the Acton Institute. In that capacity, he lectures at colleges, universities, and business organizations throughout the U.S. and abroad. He is an author on religious, political, economic, and social matters, and he's published in a variety of journals. Father Robert Sirico. Father, it's a joy to have you on the program. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Marcus. Can I just start by, you know, identifying the elephant in the room? I didn't realize I was going to be this moved by this, but I had such great admiration for Al. He interviewed me first when he was a Protestant, and I could see the trajectory he was on even then. And I've been interviewed by journalists all over the world, some of the most prominent journalists in the field. And I have to say that I have never met anyone who is more honest, balanced, or informed than Al Crespa.
Yep.
And I've already offered Mass for him.
Thank you,
and,
Father.
And want to express my condolences to all of you as colleagues and to all of you as listeners. The great man that he was, who I pray now will help us on the other side of the veil.
Yeah. And we are convinced that Al is definitely interceding for us. This was a man who died as he had lived, in the friendship of his beloved Jesus Christ.
Yes, yes, very obviously.
So, again, I want to thank you for being here, Father. Thank
I'm
you.
I'm delighted.
Those
thank
words.
You for being here and continuing the tradition.
Yeah, it's been an honor to have received the torch from Al. So, we wanted to open the conversation, Father, with talking to you about just how much the mission of Acton Institute has flourished over the years. I remember looking upon Acton Institute from afar when I was in grad school, and for silly reasons, genuinely, I used to think, oh gosh, I can't afford to attend the conference, you know, I can't afford to attend Acton University, and it's such a blessing to be here now, and to see just how sizable the conference has become is, in my mind, a barometer to where the general global society is heading towards in terms of the capacity of having these conversations and thinking rightly about ethics, culture, economics, politics, and the global society at large. So I want to hear your input on that.
Well, I have to say, as an as an insider, I'm equally astounded by the growth of the Institute. I know in reference to the American founding, they always say they built better than they knew. And I think Chris Maurin, who is the co-founder and now my successor, the president of the Institute, we built based on principles and a lot of prudence, but principles. And to anyone who is engaged in an endeavor, I would say, just hold to the truth. Don't be directed by the money you can raise or the clicks you can get. Mm-hmm. Don't say things that are tailored to an audience. I mean, you want to be accessible to a broad
right.
audience, but just say the truth. Say it winsomely. Say it convincingly, with great confidence. And I think what has happened over now 34 years of the existence of the Institute is proof of the reliability of that kind of approach.
Yep. And in fact, just to hone in on exactly what you just said, Father, that's one of the foundational principles of not just the evangelistic mission of the church, but in general, the epistemological call in natural law for all men, which is that we ought to be geared towards the truth in this large scale, because the truth by itself is attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And just speaking to what you're saying earlier, it's very clear that we have pundits, we have YouTubers, what have you, who are seeking to cater to an audience. It's about the shock factor, it's about the clicks, it's about the clickbaiting. Acton has never sought to do that, and its sheer magnificent growth is testimony to the power of truth proclaimed in all facets of human life.
I hope so. You know, particularly with the challenge of the whole mode of communication online now, that you can generate an audience and a following if you become more and more extreme and more volatile.
Yep.
and more personal. But then you get trapped in that because your audience then demands of you to become more volatile.
That's right.
And at some point, you're just screaming.
That's right. You have to keep feeding the beast.
Feeding the beast. It's kind of like, if I may use an odd analogy, but it's kind of like a pornographic addiction.
Mm.
You know, it's never just, or any addictions, really, you know. It's never just the initial addiction. It's what you get yourself into, going to more and more extremes. And I think the truth is sufficient. And the truth has its own compelling power, as you say. Mm-hmm. The beauty of the truth draws people. Jesus says, "I will lift me up, mm-hmm. and I will draw all men to myself."
Yep. And in fact, that's one of the great strengths of Acton's capacity to comment on the political sphere, not just here in the United States, but in the world. There's no effort here to draw partisan lines. There's no seeking to hardline anyone side of leaning,
right.
You've got your classical liberalists who are here. Mm-hmm. You also have innumerable people who identify with particular political organizations or even conservative.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, because Acton is so apolitical in its principle, it is therefore a soundly political in its proper definition.
Exactly.
Institution.
Exactly, because politics is downstream from culture. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said that. And by the way, I was just told earlier, we have some Marxists who are here. And somebody said, "Why do you have them here?" I said, "Well, maybe they'll learn something."
Right. And again, but politics being downstream from culture, politics is also downstream from the people. It comes from the polis. It's meant to be at the service of the common good of the polis, the people.
Precisely. And the problem with modern politics is that it's inverted that.
Yep.
It thinks if you have the big state, then you can do everything.
Yep.
Rather than it emerging from the consensus of people. The authentic governance of a society is going to come from people.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to come from their values, their formation, their acquiescence to a truth that they see.
Right.
Rather than having a big state legislate and enforce whatever the thinking happens to be or whatever the conduct
to be. And this goes back to bigger picture questions, right? You think about Plato's Republic and this notion of the philosopher king.
Yes.
This semi-notion of a democratically elected leader who mm-hmm. is a philosopher king. In light of that, we're no longer seeing that exercise of the democratic power of the populace.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, we are seeing this shift in terms of doing politics for a partisan reality, for the mm-hmm. pushing of an agenda and funds generated towards that. Agendas pushed towards that end.
Right, and increasing power,
which
necessitates increasing bureaucracy,
which in turn necessitates
increasing taxation.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon you eviscerate the family, and the family then comes under the great protection, if you will, of the state.
Right.
And
The state subjugates the role of parents in terms of being the parent of
the real
domestic
authorities
family.
In society.
Yep.
And then our politicians become superstars in a way. You know, we look to them for everything. The pastor in chief, the griever in chief, rather than allowing the subsidiary organizations, including primarily the church, to provide those functions that keep society cohesive.
Right.
It all becomes politicized.
By that definition, Father, you're basically saying that the words public servant are a misnomer.
Yes, right? It's public master.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
that's very clever. So then we have to talk about the legacy of the founding fathers, right? The Acton is firmly entrenched in the Judeo-Christian principles that is at the heart of the founding of this nation.
Yes.
If we're talking about public masters, we've deviated from that original intention of the fathers.
Yeah. And it's worth noting that when I make reference to the founding fathers, I don't presuppose by that the founding fathers of the U.S. Were either Christian, much less Catholic, or that this is a uniquely American idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think what the American experiment drew from its antecedents, the things that came before are the things, and that would include the best parts of the Enlightenment, which themselves were inspired by the church and the anthropology of of the Christian vision, the Judeo-Christian vision, and then integrated with a great deal of prudence in how to divide power. And that was the preoccupation with the founding fathers, and how they saw civil society providing really the bulk of the governance of the nation, rather than the bureaucracies and the politics of it.
You know, you think about that in terms of the free market and the development of economy, Father. Until 1880, roughly 90% of the world lived below what would have been defined as the poverty line.
Yes.
Today, less than 10% of the world lives under the poverty line.
Right.
And all of this is because division of power resulted in division of labor in its truest sense.
Right. And the authentic globalization, which is different, which is the division of labor over the nations, over the globe.
Right.
As opposed to globalism, which is the political rule internationally of the economy.
Right.
And I think there's a great deal of confusion in this, even in conservative circles these days. Let's call it the xenophobia of other nations. People can contribute to each other. That's the ideal, but you have to be free in order to do that.
That's right. That's right. Economies are at the service of the people and not the other way around.
Yeah. And man is at the center of economy.
That's right.
Because all the economy is human action that's in need of a moral framework.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't provide the moral framework. In and of itself, a market can't tell you what's good or bad.
Yeah.
It can tell you what's useful and what you need and what your subjective value is. But it doesn't tell you whether that's good or bad. You can have trade in drugs. You can have trade in people. And that's not good.
Yep.
But to have a division of labor is to make the entirety of the society more intelligent, more informed, at the very least.
Yep. I see how you slyly brought in Catholic social teachings there, Father.
Well, it's all there. It's embedded. The principles are all embedded there.
Yep, yep, absolutely. Well, I want to thank you for joining us, Father, and thank you for this great legacy of Acton University and Acton Institute.
It's an honor to be with you again, and as I say, I appreciate your continuing the work that Al has so marvelously pioneered, and appreciate your ministries.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
My guest has been Reverend Robert Sirico, President Emeritus and co-founder of the Acton Institute. And in that capacity, he lectures at colleges, universities, and business organizations throughout the U.S. and abroad. We are broadcasting from Acton University 2024. Stay tuned for more. I'm Marcus Peter.
Resetting your password, unsubscribing from emails, printing anything. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your business doesn't have to be one of them, so you can get back to more important things, like learning how that printer works. That's simple human sense.
Call Choice Insurance Agency at 734-641-4200. This program brought to you in part by the town of Ave Maria, Florida.
Ave Maria, a big kind of small town. A golf cart-friendly, ride-your-bike-everywhere kind of town with something for everyone. Resort-style amenities, two golf courses, shopping, and dining in our town center. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at the core of the community and a wide range of homes to meet your family's needs. Visitors are welcome. More information can be found at avemaria.com. Ave Maria, a big kind of small town.
The history books tell of many times and places in which the zeitgeist, the spirit of the time, decided that for the good of the state, some element of its population should be killed, like the Irish or African slaves or Jews or priests. While the Christian tradition maintains that human life is sacred, don't assume that the world agrees. Accordingly, many of the mothers, fathers, and grandparents bringing an unborn child to the abortuary know that they are killing a human being, yet have no problem with it, because history has taught them that human life is not sacred, and that occasionally certain members of society have to be sacrificed. Therefore, the pro-life movement cannot argue simply that human life is sacred. It must argue why it is sacred. The pro-life movement should show the world that as the person struggles with loneliness, runs from death, seeks answers, seeks beauty, the person is showing that he belongs to God. GuadalupeWorkers.org.
Ever thought you'd make a bundle by trading in or selling your used vehicle only to find out it's worth a dinner for two? Well, it's much more valuable to donate your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Thousands of Americans donate their vehicle each year. The donation to Ave Maria is easy, tax-deductible, and supports our efforts to evangelize. A year from now, will you remember that dinner or your gracious and selfless donation? Go to AveMariaRadio.net to find out more. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. Maybe you've even prayed the prayer of spiritual communion. Spiritual communion is a concept that goes all the way back to the 4th century. It flourished in the Eastern Church and gradually moved west. Spiritual communion stresses the transcendence of God, where we unite our desires, intentions, and loves with the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the consecration of the Eucharist at the altar. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Good afternoon, welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. Principled entrepreneurship is a mainstay in the conversation of the free market, especially when it comes to the regulation of capital and the regulation of the rights of those involved in labor. It has its origins in the 1960s when Charles Koch first began instilling it in his approach to business. To talk about this further with me is Andreas Widmer. We're broadcasting from Acton University 2024, and Andreas is delivering a lecture entitled Principled Entrepreneurship, Entrepreneurship, Creativity, and Faith and Work Culture. Andreas is no stranger to this program. He's the founder and director of the Art and Carlies Chioka Center for Principled Entrepreneurship at the Catholic University of America's Bush School of Business. Andreas, it's great to have you in the program. How are you doing?
Thank you, Peter. I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Well, the honor is all ours. So I want to start by very essentially asking you, when you talk about the notion of principled entrepreneurship, you're also therefore creating a juxtaposition, which is that there is a way to conduct oneself in entrepreneurship in an unprincipled manner. And we need to begin there if we're going to engage the conversation.
Yeah, of course. The free market as it is allows freedom, and within the freedom, the free market is a bit like a knife that you could use it to butter somebody else's bread, or you could use it to hurt somebody.
I saw where you were going with that.
And I would want to say that principled entrepreneurship is the way to use the freedom of the free market for the benefit of the common good and the individual person.
Okay. So you begin the conversation on principled entrepreneurship by essentially stating the fact that the market and entrepreneurship is to be at the service of people and not the other way around.
Yep. It's very easy to mistake this. You know, I'm not an academic. I don't have a PhD or anything. I'm a practitioner. Mm-hmm. I've been in companies. I helped grow companies and start companies for 30 years. And over time, if you're not careful, I think many of the listeners can relate to this, that you hear people say, well, it's just business, nothing personal.
Right.
Or they say, well, this is for the firm, or something like that. And that's very alienating. It makes people frustrated that somehow suddenly we submit our own needs to the firm, that there's nothing personal in this. You may get hurt, but... And that is losing the forest for the trees.
Right.
We should always remember, and that's the first principle, that the economy exists for men, not men for the economy.
Mm-hmm.
If the economy ends up hurting us, then that is not the intention of what we're doing.
Right.
And so, even though this, you know, all of these principles that I'm declaring are in a way very common sense.
Yep.
But common sense is not as common as we wish it was.
Well, truer words have never been said. And there's a real appeal to the principles that you're putting forth and Catholic social teachings in terms of engaging in the work of business and entrepreneurship and generation of capital.
Yeah, I'm trying to... See, I sort of start off with some very, as we said, common sense principles. In a sense, the Catholic social teaching are very common sense principles, human dignity and so on. Subsidiarity, solidarity. My thing in teaching in general is, okay, so what? What does this mean for what I'm going to do this afternoon?
Mm-hmm.
I see myself as the translator of business strategy, Catholic social teaching, the Christian humanism, so and the everyday man like myself, to say, okay, how do I translate this? Even if I don't run a company, even if I just start a project or I'm working in a job, what does this mean for me? And that's where I'm trying to be very practical and sort of use my some understanding of these theoretical things, but then my experience in actually running companies or working in companies, and show people a way to practice this in everyday life.
Right. Going back to exactly what you said then earlier about how there's a kind of disparate anthropology. You've got, on the one hand, anywhere from the philosophical to the Catholic anthropology, which is the dignity of the human person, the superiority of the human person over systems, and then on the other hand, this kind of corporate entrepreneurial anthropology, where people are at the service of the institution, the systems. That disparity, you've seen this on a practical level, right? It creates a kind of disengagement in the work environment.
2/3 of our workforce today is disengaged, and 16% of them of those are actively disengaged. They're trying to hurt the company.
Wow.
When you're looking at that, when I give talks on this, and I talk to my students about it, the first thing is that people say, well, those are bad employees. The trouble is that it's actually, if you really double-click on it, it's not the employee's fault. It's the employee's reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, well, these are very bad managers. Well, but the managers, when you look on it, are part of the 2/3. So they themselves, I've had the experience myself that I got burnt out, that I get disengaged, that I couldn't wait to get back to go home in the evening, just let this be over. But what I found is that it has exactly to do with this first principle, and that is that when the human person gets used as a means to an end,
mm-hmm.
which Catholic teaching says never to do, when we get used as a means to an end, we become resentful. And we don't like that. That is what happens when man starts to exist for the economy.
That's right.
That is in a way a reaction to this. And so, when you're looking at our current culture, there's really two dominant paradigms of how we look at business. And that's the part where I like to suggest a couple of changes. The two paradigms is, and they're cliches. You know, the first one is about Milton Friedman's kind of the only social responsibility of a corporation is to make a profit, which he actually said much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
But this gave rise to the Wolf of Wall Street kind of attitude.
Yes.
Greed is good, just it's only business kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, of course, totally beside the point. The other thing is then the reaction to it, which I would say is the cliche of the corporate social responsibility to say, okay, you got to do this, but then you have to give back afterwards, right? It occurs to me that what's wrong is that these are actually the same worldviews, which both of these only focus on the outcome of business, and they both kind of agree with each other that business itself is a bad thing. It's a zero-sum game.
That's right.
And therefore, we're going to focus on the outcome. Somebody wins, somebody loses, and then let's just split afterwards, or let's keep it all afterwards. That is a very different view than what Christianity portrays about work.
Right.
Work is, in a deep sense, an imitation of God, a participation in God's creativity.
Yep.
It's if you imitate God through work, then by imitating somebody a lot, you become more like them. Therefore, work in the Catholic view is a part of your path to holiness, a very integral part to of your path, and therefore work itself needs to be, in a sense, redeeming. It needs to be sanctifying.
Yep.
Not just the end of the work, but the work itself. If we create companies that do that, everything changes.
Right.
Now, can we do that in the context? Then people say, well, then let's, is there a third Catholic way? No, I no, there is no third Catholic way. Within the freedom of the free market, what we need to start to understand, and there's a very beautiful Catholic principle, Marcus, that I like to propose here, and that is the both and. So do we only have to say, oh, this is only about profit? No. But is the profit important? Yeah, profit is to the body, like to the human person, like profit is to companies, like white blood cells are to the human person.
Mm.
You're never thinking about them, but if I take them away, you're dead. It's the same with the but they don't give meaning to your life, mm-hmm. right? And so what we can do, what I propose is that we can say absolutely profit are absolutely essential, actually. That it's life-threatening if you don't have it, but it doesn't give meaning. The meaning itself of the work has to be the flourishing of the human person.
Mm.
And then if you have a flourishing of the human person, profit is a side effect,
yeah.
just like white blood cells are a side effect of a healthy human body. And so I would like to say, suggest to people that it's not either or, it's both and. Mm-hmm. Profit and good work together create good profit, right? And so we should, that's all kind of included in this first principle of principled entrepreneurship.
Right. I love that analogy, and if we can take it to its logical end, when white blood cells overwhelm the body, well, you've got leukemia, and it brings about the demise of the body.
Yeah.
And so going back to like what you mentioned earlier about Friedman's principle of corporate social responsibility, I know it's reductionistic, I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
But acknowledging the fact that the only responsibility of the institution is toward profit, that's one extreme. You've got the other dichotomous polar, which is you have this obligation of overtly giving back and virtue signaling and moral grandstanding. Both of these positions have a detrimental effect on the free market as a whole. And that free market is the average human person, the average citizen here in the United States of America.
Yeah. The flourishing of the human person is the objective of the economy. And it's a small semantic thing, but I'm for example, very... I take issue with this term of non-profit company. Because to me... If indeed our work is to imitate God, to participate in God's creativity, then I would like to add that God has never produced anything that isn't profitable.
Mm.
This is a God of abundance. The universe is expanding. Everything on earth is abundant. And there's no tree, no flower that isn't growing and multiplying. And neither should your work be. If you do work well, as you imitate God, then your work is going to be profitable. There should be no incentive to create non-profit companies. I understand the difference, though. If you say charity, then let's do charity, which is to take something and give it away.
Mm-hmm.
But to create a non-profit company that exists on its own, in the military, we'd call something like this a self-licking ice cream cone. That is its own justification. Do you see what I mean? And that, again, is the same... To me, this comes from the same anthropology, from the same view as the extreme Friedman thing of Wolf of Wall Street, to say, the zero-sum game, this is just business.
Right.
You know, it becomes a self-licking ice cream cone. And that's the danger with this, if you leave a proper anthropology, which means that work is uniquely human. Only we humans can work. And we can do that because we're made in the image and likeness of the Creator, and our work is creation.
Yep. Yep. Our work is very good. We're going to continue this conversation with Andreas Widmer, founder and director of the Art and Carlies Chioka Center for Principled Entrepreneurship at the Catholic University of America's Bush School of Business. He's also the author of the book Principled Entrepreneurship, and he's delivering this lecture at Acton University 2024. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
An
underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Support for this Ave Maria radio program comes in part by the non-for-profit St. Anthony Services. Are you shopping for mortgage products, Catholic investing, Catholic health, real estate, or estate planning? StAnthonyServices.org can help you find a Catholic professional for these needs. They regularly connect faithful citizens with faith-based professionals that share our Christian values. More information at StAnthonyServices.org or 877-LIFE-US1.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchuk.
Good discipline is an important part of raising healthy, happy, godly kids, but it can be hard to know what good discipline really looks like. St. John Bosco developed an approach to child rearing we call discipleship discipline. Discipleship discipline helps kids understand the good intentions behind their bad behaviors and gives them opportunities to learn and practice meeting those intentions in more virtuous, effective ways. Discipleship discipline helps kids come to see their parents as loving mentors who can help them meet all their needs in healthy, godly ways. That's one reason that discipleship discipline is such an important part of the liturgy of domestic church life. To discover more ways your family can celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life, check out the newest editions of Parenting with Grace and visit CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchuk, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Patience is a virtue. It's just never been one of mine. If there's some part of your life where you're suffering, take some time in prayer with Scripture. It's those moments of struggle that our patience is tested. Find the verses that speak to you personally, that describe your experiences, and share them with God. This is part of growing in faith and Christian spirituality with the Lord. Scripture guides us into deep dives. God's love and mercy saves us. My hope is in Him. I trust His will. He will be there as I trust in Him. I wait for His timing and not mine. God's timing is not our timing. And Scripture teaches us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So let's grow deeper in our spirituality so we can gain patience during our trials. This has been a Christ-centered communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist and host of Epiphany.
St. Therese once told her sister Celine that when we trust ourselves and not God, our soul becomes barren and incapable of virtue. Her remedy? External works of charity. We all try to do it on our own sometimes, without asking for God's help. At St. Paul Evangelization, we suggest sharing the gospel with someone who needs it. Check out streetevangelization.com to find a team near you where you can share the love of Jesus. If there isn't one in your area yet, perhaps God is calling you to start a team in your city. To learn more, visit streetevangelization.com.
Another year has come and gone, and whether you like it or not, Uncle Sam requires you to make an accounting.
Perhaps it's time to call Myler and Zipka. They work with you to legally minimize your tax bill and identify ways to reduce future taxes. Eliminate the nagging feeling that you're paying more taxes than you need to. Call Ken Zipka today at 734-930-5500. Myler and Zipka. Integrity, excellent value, and people dedicated to a long-term relationship. 734-930-5500.
Welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter, broadcasting from Acton University 2024 in Grand Rapids. I am joined in this segment by Andreas Widmer, one of the faculty members of Acton University for this year, and his lecture is entitled Principled Entrepreneurship, Entrepreneurship, Creativity, and Faith and Work Culture. Andreas was also a friend of Al Cresta, and this is the first year that we're doing this where Al isn't here. So
yeah. So the last time I saw Al was a year ago here at Acton University. I would usually always come by. I think I've been teaching here for 15 years or something like that. That's shocking. But Al was... I actually met Al before that. You know, I wrote my first book, The Pope and the CEO, And for all the aspiring authors out there, I know how difficult it is to get traction, to find a publisher, to get, you know, to get publicity for it. And you know, I owe Al a great debt of gratitude. This is sort of this is who Al was. He was the first person to invite me to talk about my book on air, like the first interview I've ever done about the Pope and the CEO, my efforts to promote the theology, the ideas of John Paul II, was with Al Cresta, because he shared my love for John Paul II, and he's like, well, let me give this kid a chance, put a microphone in front of him, and ever since then, I think I have been on his radio show at least once or twice a year. And he has always been the most gracious, sometimes critical, but the most gracious interviewer that you could possibly think of. Just a real man of God, and in my view, a real principled entrepreneur. Because if you're looking at what Al has created, the whole network, the whole Ave Maria radio network, and the work he did before, he's a testament to everything I write about in my books, both the John Paul II book and The Art of Principled Entrepreneurship, because at the end, Al was deeply, deeply imbued with his faith in Christ, and through that, the Catholic social teaching. And you can see that the organization he built is person-centered and is not just business, but is actually about the flourishing of the human person. And I'm eternally grateful for him, and I pray for his soul that he will receive his, I think, well-deserved reward in heaven, and to have the beatific vision.
You know, Andreas, a lot of people have been asking us at Acton about Al's passing, and even outside of Acton, and my consolation, literally one of the first things I took consolation in was the fact that Al died well.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it.
He didn't just live well, which we all know he did.
He did.
But he died well.
Yeah.
He prepared himself to receive the embrace of death.
Yep.
And he was ready to see our Savior.
Consciously planned death, in a sense, of conscientious.
Yep.
I feel sad for his wife. I give him my condolences, his family and everything. That's the part I'm sad about. Al is going to his well-deserved reward, and this is the race well run. This is the goal, in a sense, is to end the race, like Al did. And I think, and so I'm not sad for Al. I think he's very happy to go to the Lord and to see the Lord face to face. I think this should be an inspiration for us all to basically sit down at this point, as you all listen to this, to say, okay, Al just went through the ribbon at the end of the race. He just went through it. What do I need to do here for both to get ready for this?
Yes.
And what is my unfinished business in this race here? Because I just find it so inspirational that Al called all his kids, all his grandkids to him. He had, I understand, individual meetings with everybody and talked with them.
Yep.
Those are the actions of a great Christian, a great man of how you do this. And I think God gives us these examples so that we can imitate them. And so let's imitate Al. And okay, maybe you're not at the doorsteps, or I'm not at the doorsteps of death right now, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't do this. Who do we need to meet, and what are our things that we have left to do?
And in some way, all of us stand at the doorstep of death. And, now, we might be far from it, we might be closer to it, but we're all at the doorstep of death in some way.
Yeah. The beautiful thing with Al Cresta is that he was a Christ-centered man, and that peace that comes from that Christ-centeredness, he imbued that.
Yeah.
And a real joy, and I'm very proud and grateful to have called him a friend.
Yeah. And so I'd like to pivot back to the conversation that we're having about your lecture here at Acton University, and using Al as a springboard. Al never hired anyone who didn't have a sense of mission, and in this case, mission of evangelization for the salvation of souls. every one of us,
yep,
who wound up joining the Ave Maria Radio family, he made sure that that was the box we checked,
yep,
more than anything. And this goes back to principle number two, which is,
yep,
that we are made to create,
yep,
not in the fullest way the way God creates, right? We are co-creators in that, mm-hmm, sense. We take what the Lord has given and we,
yep,
participate in that. But this creation of value, as you mentioned,
yep,
becomes only possible when you're bought into the mission of the organization.
One of the secrets of great companies is that they figure out how to put these values on top of the flagpole.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not company, it's a misunderstanding to say, well, companies should just accept everybody and everybody has a role in the company. No, that's not true. A company exists to do a specific thing, and the best way you can plan for that is to put a value all the way on top and put the flag up and put it there so clearly that people who don't want to do this are not attracted to it.
That's right.
I think what Al did is to live his value so on his sleeve and so open and so totally blunt, in a sense, that anybody who wouldn't go for this wasn't going to go on that train.
That's right.
That's actually, if you run a business or you have a team, that's the best way to make sure that the kind of people who join you are the right people, by just not trying to be kumbaya and saying, hey, everything, yeah, is fine. No, you're on a specific mission. You should be extremely obvious about what those values are, so that, you know, that's what they say, the bird call, like, do that call that, mm-hmm, for the bird that you're looking for. And I think that, Al was an expert at this. But, of course, he has, you know, God gave him a life that brought him through his experience and his conversion or reversion, that he learned this, in a sense, the hard way and fine-tuned it over his life. But this is something that's completely valuable to all of us. I help a lot of CEOs in coaching and doing this to put down what those values are, and then put them up, and then there's this term that I use in the book to burn the ship.
Uh-huh.
That means to burn the ship means that you say, these are our values. What is the anti-value that competes with this?
Mm-hmm.
And then how do I make sure that I burn the path to that, so that it's not an option,
yep,
anymore. For example, the person I write the book about and with, to a large extent, is Art Sioka,
the
founder of the wine group.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that in his retail business, people were too driven towards short-term revenue generation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, selling the product
That's
quickly,
right,
and so on.
Commission-driven.
Commission-driven,
yeah,
stuff. And so what he said is, well, so really the enemy here to long-term value creation is commission. And so he says, what ship do I have to burn? And he says, very clear, I have to burn the commission ship. So the guy built a retail organization without any commission.
That's
and
right,
no
that's
short,
right.
No short-term goals.
And so this was across the entire organization.
Across the entire organization. He said, I will make everybody in this company, my promise to you is, I will do my darndest to make you a millionaire within 10 years. But you have to stay here for 10 years. And if that's not your time horizon, this is not going to work. That's the ship he burned, right? He put the value out there for value creation,
right,
but he said, if this is short term, you're in the wrong place here, and he burned that ship. I said, well, you've lost some of the best salespeople, and he would say, no, these are not my best salespeople. My best salespeople have a 10-year horizon,
mm-hmm,
and those are the ones I attracted. I think this applies to every business, and you have to,
yeah,
just ask yourself, what is the ship you need to burn? What is the anti-value that stands in the way?
Right. And that goes to the building of a corporate culture.
Yeah.
You think about DEI principles, for example. On the one hand, you've got this moral virtue signaling.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes it to the other extreme of corporate social responsibility that you highlight in your book. But at the end of the day, it's detrimental. It's the kind of thing that eats a company alive from within.
See, who would not... I mean, I don't know, but who is not going to be for diversity? But if you want to really celebrate diversity, then implement mentorship programs and educational programs to actually take interest in the individual.
Right.
Should it be a checkbox item say so many of this and so many of that? That's hollow. That doesn't do anything. But what if we say that we take an active interest to go to places where others don't go and bring people in and create mentorship and education program? I think to offer opportunities is where this value really comes down, versus window dressing for checkbox items. That's the hollowing out of it. So again, DEI has, I think, very good intentions, very good objectives in a sense, to say, let's move towards a society, like Martin Luther says, that where it's about character and not skin or background or whatever. But how do you get there? I don't think you get there with checkbox either. Yep. I think you get there with really honoring the individual and really take interest, not in a group, but in the individual, through mentorship, through education, and through promotion, maybe also within the company.
Right. And now we're running out of time in the segment, but you're completely right about that. The way to move forward and flourish this is not by means of checking demographic and the ethnic boxes for the sake of, again, you know, virtue signaling, right? The way to move this forward is the creation of these opportunities.
Yeah.
And that's what a good
organization
does.
Intentional creation.
That's
because
right.
Because there is something wrong if there is a homogeneous group running a company. There is something wrong. And by the way, there's not just something wrong in terms of objectively and humanly inside, but it's also something wrong that you cannot possibly anticipate a customer, an audience, if you don't have that diversity, that diversity present, because people think different and see different symbols, and even the marketing is going to go right.
That's
with
right.
it, and that is going to hurt the company overall.
And that all rests upon the kind of corporate culture that's created.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Andreas, just in a nutshell, then, in the application of these principles of principal entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
There's going to be huge returns for the society at large outside of the institution.
Yeah. Remember this, the Art Sioka would always tell me that the greatest thing, he was a great philanthropist. I mean, he did philanthropy on a massive scale, right? And when I would talk to him about this and the good that he brought through this, also through our center, you know, he would always say, look, Andreas, this pales in comparison to the good I did through my business. Because through my business, I gave people jobs and growth opportunities where they sent their own kids to school, where they became philanthropists, where they could really flourish and become who God made them to be. That is a company like that, with thousands and thousands of employees all over the world, it has such a profound impact that philanthropy that you do pales in comparison.
Right. Thank you so much for joining us, Andreas. My guest has been Andreas Widmer, founder and director of the Art and Carly Sioka Center for Principled Entrepreneurship at the Catholic University of America's Bush School of Business. He is giving the lecture entitled Principled Entrepreneurship, Entrepreneurship, Creativity, and Faith and Work Culture at Acton University 2024. I'm Marcus Peter.
Beckway Door is a top provider of garage doors as well as home entry, patio, and storm doors. Locally owned since 1978, we give free, no-pressure quotes at prices 20% lower than most competitors, and often provide same-day service for garage door repairs. Mention Ave Maria Radio for 10% off the replacement or service of your garage door or the installation of new exterior doors. Visit BeckwayDoor.com. That's BeckwayDoor.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hi, Vanessa Denhagarmo here, inviting you to tune into Epiphany. We're made to praise God and celebrate our faith. I want to encourage listeners to connect, communicate, and collaborate with the faith community. Life is a journey, and along the way, we have those epiphany moments that bring us closer to Christ. Please partner with me and celebrate the diversity of our Catholic Church.
Epiphany, weekdays at noon, only on Ave Maria Radio.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. We are broadcasting from Acton University 2024. And for those of you interested in looking up the program, Ave Maria Radio is blessed to be a media partner with them. They advertise with Ave Maria Radio, and it's just been a blessed partnership where we get to engage the faith at the intersection of culture and the development and flourishing of the human person. So I'd greatly invite you to look up Acton University and see how you can get involved and maybe even attend next year's conference, next year's university experience. There are over 100 courses taught by over 60 experts internationally. These are world-class faculty members, and all of this facilitates us being able to have substantive conversations of true consequence, bridging political divides so that we can actually come together in the pursuit of the common good. I urge you to consider that. And until next time, I'm Marcus Peter.
Cresta in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. To follow up on any of the guests or information presented on today's program, visit the Cresta Guest Archive at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMaria Radio.net. To listen to this or any other edition of Cresta in the Afternoon, visit the audio archives at AveMariaRadio.net. Or to order a CD of the program, call 734-930-4506 or email orders at AveMariaRadio.net. That's 734-930-4506 or orders at AveMariaRadio.net.